Hey girl, you feel that? That's boyfriend material. This is episode 22, Murder by Numbers, from 2002. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe Too, and this episode's brought to you by Nylon.
Oh, you mean Nylon?
No, that's boyfriend material.
What is nylon-y about this movie?
Nylon is the strongest fiber of all the carpets, with excellent resistance to abrasion, insects, molding, mildew, rot, and many chemicals.
Ooh.
I was trying to find a nice generic carpet fiber that you can be sold at many stores or planted as evidence.
This, right off the bat, this is not a good movie, but this is a fun, goofy movie because it is crazy.
Dude, compared to the movie we did last time, which yes. I really didn't like, United States of Leland, this was a complete breath of fresh air for me. It felt kind of Lifetime-y. I actually found it really enjoyable. You're right. By any metric, this is not a good movie. For me, it hit all the right notes. I was happy with it.
So this is, let's play a game right now. So this movie, okay, there's two parts of this game. I don't know which one is crazier. So this movie, at least to me, looks like shit. Like, it doesn't look
it's
like sloppily made, but it looks like
one takes.
It looks low budget. It looks whatever. Guess what the budget was on this movie?
$6 million.
$50 million.
Holy fuck. It was like 35 to Sandy, and then like 10 to Gosling and 5 for the movie. It had to be.
I tried to find this out last night, and Sandra Bullock only made $20 million for Gravity, a movie where it's only her. So there's no way she got more than like 10 or 15. Gosling is a nobody at this point, so
he's not in anything. We're going backwards. He's like, we're getting to like the bottom of the barrel. He's like, this is one of his first movies.
Yeah, I don't know where this money went. And then the other crazy thing is that this movie was shot by, cinematography by, the guy who did Suspiria, the original Suspiria, which is like a landmark in Italian giallo cinema. Like, you know, one of the most famous Italian movies of all time. This guy who shot that movie shot this movie. I'm like, I don't know where.
Maybe a lot of money went to him.
I don't think they get paid that much. I don't know, man. It is wild to think about this.
It kind of has a feel like it should have been a huge movie in theaters, right?
So it made 56 worldwide. So it wasn't a total bomb, but it didn't do very well. Because if it put any money toward marketing, it was just, it lost money. It made like 23 or something, or maybe made like half in the US and then half the rest of the world.
It definitely feels like a TV movie, though. Like, that's what my description of Lifetime-y. Like,
and it looks like it.
It looks like it, and it feels like it, yeah. This is a Saturday afternoon special. This is a Lifetime. You're sitting at home folding laundry. It's Saturday afternoon. You start it kind of in the middle. Doesn't really matter too much. They're going to unpack everything for you anyways.
So there were a lot of mixed reviews about this movie, too. There was, like, okay. I think that's like a 30%-ish on Rotten Tomatoes, which is about the same where Leland was. Roger Ebert gave this 3 out of 4 stars, though.
Yeah.
In retrospect, someone, I think, on the AV Club or something said, like, this could have been, like, a really wonderfully delightful bad movie, except it feels like Sandra Bullock playing Sandra Bullock is sort of bringing it down. Like, she's bringing credibility to this movie in a way that the movie, isn't doing the movie any favors. She's too good for the part that she's actually supposed
that's,
to be playing.
That's a fair assessment. Like, if we would have replaced her with like a 2-bit Lifetime actress, yeah, this movie would have been a blast.
Like, even, it's sort of the realm that I'm more familiar with, like the sci-fi original, and I don't know a lot of that, but like when they do Sharknado, they have like Tara Reid, right? Like some like washed up,
yes,
like used to be big, is no longer big. Like, this is not an insult to Sandy or to the movie. It's
she
just
should
like,
have been bigger than this movie at that time,
yes,
you're saying, which is fair.
It's like she is doing too well here for what the movie requires. Because, like, her backstory, like, this tragic backstory about how she, like, got married at 16 and got beat up at 17 and got almost killed at 18 and
yep,
put her husband away. Like, it's, like, the most, not cliche, but, like, the most, oh, I know, like, it's, like, the hard-boiled, like, what we were sort of guessing, a hard-boiled detective with, like, you know, a troubled past. It is just, what is happening?
It was fun, though. I had so much fun watching this one.
I will never watch this again, though.
I have a feeling I could watch this again when I forget about it, because it's bland enough that I'll forget about it in like a year and a half. And if I like saw it on again, I'd be like, oh, this was a lot of fun. Like, Rachel watched a little bit at the beginning and then fell asleep last night when I was, and then I watched the rest this morning,
mm-hmm,
and I could watch it again for her. Definitely. I think it's fun. I like Gosling in it, too, a lot.
I went to bed last night, and I woke up to, like, 6 questions from you, like, I don't know what's going on. Who is this person? Like, what's the relationship? And I was just like, ooh, he is diving deep into the world of Murder by Numbers.
I was just confused because at the beginning, this was a perfectly passive movie for me to, you can watch, but you don't have to give full attention to. I had, like, looked at my phone for a second, and when I looked up, it was, like, the very beginning scene with Gosling and, like, American Beauty kid going on there.
Wait, Michael Pitt's in American Beauty?
No. But he just seems like the kid from American Beauty.
Oh, because he's the one from, you probably know him from Boardwalk Empire.
Nope.
You never watched that?
Nope.
Feels like a show in your wheelhouse. I watched the first season, I didn't like it, and I turned it off.
He looks familiar, and he's playing this, like, brooding teenager. That's why I was just getting the American Beauty vibes.
Okay, yeah.
He and Gosling kind of seem like they're in a relationship, because they're, like, drinking together, he was, like, choking him a little bit. It was just, like, weird, and then they were, like, friends after he's, like, because it starts out with them, like, planning the murder, but you don't know they're planning the murder. He's like, I'm gonna kill you, and he's like, no, they're gonna find your fingerprints on my neck, and, like, and then they're, like, drinking together afterwards, and I was like, were they doing like some kind of weird almost sex game?
You're skipping over how the movie begins, which is one of my least favorite, if not maybe my least favorite trope in movies, which is show the climax at the first scene, and it's their suicide pact, and then it goes bang, and then it cuts to black and it goes to credits or whatever, and I'm like, stop doing that. Movies, like, I know this is like almost 20 years ago now, but stop doing that.
Yes,
it's not fresh. It ruins the end of the movie because you know at some point they're going to get there. It's fear that your movie is not interesting enough to get to that point. Like, you need some kind of way to keep the viewer engaged. But, like, if they're in theoretically in theaters, they're not walking out. Like, they paid the money to see it. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It bothers me when movies do that because it's like, I know exactly where this is going to go. Luckily, or not so luckily, whatever, there's a couple, like, crazy twists that happen after that moment in this movie. But still, we know that they're going to get back to that cabin, which we see in the early going after that, like the scene you're talking about.
Yep.
Like, we know they're going to get back there. They're going to be on their knees, suicide packed, and it's just like a matter of time waiting to get back there. Just like, come on, man, stop it.
I think it would have been more interesting if we would have just like seen them existing and wouldn't have known that they were the murderers.
Mm-hmm. I do want to say, though, that we'll get to the guesses later, but I was not exactly right in my guess, but I did guess that Gosling was a murderer. We talked about in the Leland episode that we wondered if there was going to be any more Gosling as a murderer, and this is now 2 in a row where he's a murderer.
2 in a row, yeah.
Whose idea do you think it was to murder? It sort of feels like a joint decision, but do you think it was more him or more Michael Pitt? It feels like more Michael Pitt, and then he just sort of brought Gosling into the fold?
Yes. I think it was Michael Pitt. I'm going to call him that now because I don't know his character name.
Yeah, neither do I. I don't know anybody's character names.
But it's not necessary because it's a Lifetime movie. It doesn't really matter. I think that he led Gosling along to believe that Gosling was driving because he knew he was narcissistic enough to believe that he would be in charge.
So this is, and this maybe will, I think that's definitely part of it. There's sort of a twofold thing, and I think what you're saying is the second part of this. So this is a movie, this is the fourth movie that was based off, which I'd never heard of, the Leopold and Loeb murder. And I don't know if you know these were in like 1924.
No.
And it was these two guys who basically murdered a 14-year-old and then basically taunted the cops, like, you can't catch us. So their whole thing was that we're too smart, we're going to plan the perfect murder, and because we're going to be able to get away with it, we didn't do anything wrong because we're like absolved of our crimes because we're so smart and we planned this out so well. Spoiler, they were caught.
Even really in the 20s? See, this is we talk about this a lot. Man, murders would have been so much easier before DNA, right? Because all you need to do is be like, no, I wasn't there. Like the finger, whatever, you know?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
With DNA now, you're like, oh, fuck. Like, they put you there.
They even talk about that in this movie. Because Gosling's like, you can't take fingerprints off skin. He's like, well, yeah, you can if you have like the magnetic blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, there's hair fibers and there's skin fibers and all this different stuff. And that's what they plant that evidence. But anyway, so this is the fourth time Alfred Hitchcock made the movie Rope, which I think is all one shot, which is based on this murder.
I knew about that movie. I've never seen it.
Richard Fleischer did Compulsion, which I don't know, and Tom Kalin did Swoon. And so this is the fourth, and there hasn't been one, I don't think, since. But there's been 4 movies basically about two cocky young men, I guess, thinking that they could plan the perfect murder and get away with it. It just seems like that's never going to happen. I mean, that's sort of the punishment here. They're never going to happen. And then that's sort of the twist, kind of, at the end. Sandra Bullock basically gets Gosling to admit, or, like, convicts Gosling of the murder. And then she's like, yeah, but I know you did it, too. And, like, she gets both of those guys. She gets both of them at the end. So, like, separately, but also together.
Yeah.
One other thing, sort of behind the scenes, this was directed by a guy named Barbet Schroeder, who is only notable to me because he directed a Nicolas Cage movie, Kiss of Death, where Nicolas Cage plays a character named Little Junior and bench presses a stripper in a strip club.
You told me about this. Or, no, you know what I heard you... I heard you talking about this with Marco on the Marco interview episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't even know where to begin with this movie. Let's talk about... Let's wind up with costumes. Let's talk about Sandra Bullock first as this, like... What I feel is typically a male role.
They spoon-feed you the male role thing because, you know, they call her the hyena. She says, why do they call me the hyena? Because they have a mock penis. Like, you could take that as you will. She seduces the new assistant.
And he says, what are you doing? She says, it's called sex. It's fun. You should try it.
Yeah, and it was like, Rachel and I were watching that part, and it was like, we were like, damn, this is really creepy. Like, she's, like, sexually assaulting her partner. Brain-wise, we always give it a free pass, right?
I don't know if we give it a free pass. I think what you just said there, like, it's uncomfortable because it's new. Like, it's not something that you normally see before. And so you're like, oh, this stands out.
Even still, when we see this happen, we could be like, oh, it seems like she's, like, pressure-fucking him a little bit. At the same time, we're like, we do the South Park, like, nice. Like, I'm not, like, offended by, like, this isn't, like, a rape scene in a movie. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make me feel that awkward. Like, I'm like, this is interesting. And then I'm like, but yeah, I could be that guy. Like, if Sandy forced herself on me, I'd be like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing.
This is also a good time to bring up that this is the movie that we knew about that Gosling and Sandra Bullock met on and dated for a little over a year. She was...
How far apart are they in age, by the way?
Look that up. When they first started dating, he was 21, she was 37. And I asked... They dated for like 14 or 15 months, Gosling and Sandra Bullock, like for like summer to summer, basically, 02 to 03.
But they're fucking working, so it's not like, you know, like movie relationships like last longer because like you don't really see the like if they're both doing movies, like he probably went to go do Leland, that's like 2 months. I'm saying like training for it, flying, seeing the sets, getting the whatever. You know what I mean? Like you're going to be busy enough like as an actor, I'm assuming, that you don't really have time. And Sandy's probably doing other movies at this time. 14 months of a movie star relationship isn't 14 months of you in the house with that person.
It's true.
24 hours a day.
Yeah, I think you're overestimating how busy actors are, but I also do think that you're right, that she's probably, especially her, I don't think this is him by
any stretch of imagination. It's a long-distance relationship, for all intents and purposes, just compared to that, where, like, you can string this along for a lot longer versus, like, Love Island style, where you're, like, locked in a house together and you're incubating a relationship. I feel like it's way closer to, like, I'm definitely grossly overestimating their busyness, but at the same time, like, you're not going to be holding hands the whole time, so I don't think it's that long is what I'm saying. I think 14 months, it's like, it sounds like it's like, oh, they were dating for a year. In my mind, I would probably scale that back to about like 3-4 months maybe, like in normal people time.
I think being an actor is sort of a lonely, isolating profession. That's
fair.
You need someone else in that field, and you know it's got to be hard
True.
To meet people.
I agree.
And so if you connect with someone of any age, do that, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't
know. A fair point. I get it. There's a lot of professions that you're like, I could pretty much only date somebody else that can understand this.
Yep. Not many celebrities really have, like, normal person, like, long-standing relationships, right? Like, it sort of feels like they partner up because, like, it's the time suck, the attention, all of that, where it's like, oh, someone not like, you might think that you know what it's like, but unless you're in that situation, you have no idea what it actually is like.
Yep.
This is also a movie in which Sandra Bullock gets attacked by a monkey.
I was gonna say, this movie could fit so many podcasts on the network.
Sure, Monkey Club, absolutely.
Monkey Club, it's a Gosling movie.
Yeah.
It's a high school movie, shout out Brian Rodriguez.
True. Wistful Thinking was originally almost a Sandra Bullock podcast.
There you go, Sandy. And Gosling is driving some hunky American muscle right there, too. So
that's
I was
true.
Thinking, this could have been a pit stop on Too Fast, Too Forever. I was, like, when I was watching, I was like, oh, there's a lot going on here.
Two car facts. After production wrap, Gosling kept the Jeep Cherokee used in the film.
Oh, that's cool. He didn't take the Mustang. He took the Jeep Grand Cherokee.
So that's the thing. So the Mustang, the one that he drives, is the same type of car driven by Steve McQueen in Bullet, which, again, even more
Bullet.
So, Too Fast, Too Forever. And he said Gosling suggested the car be used as he's a fan of McQueen.
I think answering Stephen McQueen is like one of your favorite actors as an actor boy is like,
it's like he's like a slightly more modern James Dean.
Yeah, and it's like it's the equivalent of saying like The Notebook was your favorite movie as a high school girl in the time that we grew up in high school. It's like, yeah, like I like Steve McQueen, I like James Dean, and you know what I mean? You're like, come on, man, you're like a 20-year-old handsome actor. Of course you do. We fucking know that. Duh.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Obviously this is how you got into this. Like, what a terrible answer. I like Goss a lot, but like, God.
Well, I mean, we sort of have come to realize that a lot of his choice, like, he likes the indie scene. I feel like he is a very specific, like, it feels like he sells, he pulls it off, but, like, in a slightly skewed lens, it feels like he would be kind of that pretentious boy that you, like, you don't want to talk to.
I don't think he would be a kid I would have been friends with in high school. Because he'd have been like, no, I'm studying for my acting. And you'd be like, shut up. Like, this kid is so fucking annoying. But look where he is, man. He's a great actor.
Look where he is. I think the only other thing I really want to say about Sandra Bullock's character is that the movie, and this is more sort of about the structure and the story than it is about her, but the movie has her and her young partner confront them very early on. Like, the final confrontation begins, like, 70 minutes into the two-hour movie.
Very fair. I agree.
They just call them and they're like, okay, we know definitively, like, they even say, like, we know it was them, now we gotta figure out why. Well, it's like, you don't really need to figure out why. Like, if you have the evidence, you know what I mean? Or maybe they're like,
yeah,
we know it's, like, we know in our gut it's them, we need to, like, prove it or whatever. Like, I get that. But they're like, we know it was them, let's figure out why now. They call them in and they separate them and they're, you know, talking to one another. Then they all sort of go their own separate ways and then they all converge back on the cabin at the end. But I was like, this is a really, like, it felt surprising how early it was, but it also didn't feel too early, if that makes sense. Like, it felt like it sort of belonged there. I was just like, I don't think I've ever seen a movie where, like, half of it, the criminals know the cops are after them. You know what I mean? Like, it sort of feels like they're sort of skating by for a while. And then with almost half the movie left, they're like, okay, now we're, like, on the run, basically. And it felt like a lot of that.
Yeah. It was part of, like, the setup, right? Like, they were like, oh, they're gonna be on to us. Like, they gave them clues that implicated themselves.
Yes.
Because they, like, put the boots and stuff like that. So, like, they were trying to get found out. They just weren't trying to get this found out.
Yeah, because I think that goes back to the actual crime, right? It's like, we're so smart that, like, we're gonna, like, basically, oh, they were my boots. Yeah, like you said, they're my boots, but, like, they were stolen, so they're not, they couldn't have done it. Or, like, they're just so overt about everything.
I think it really nails the teenage bravado, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
At this point in my life, I could never have been like, yeah, I could get away with a murder. I'd be like, no fucking way. But, like, at 18, I'd be like, I'm smarter than the cops. I could probably get away with a murder.
That's what you're kind of rooting for and rooting against, right? Like, it's the hubris. It's like the young, dumb, full of cum, to talk about Point Break. That's what makes it intriguing. It's like the sort of the kids from opposite sides of the track. Like, and that's also why it sort of works the way it works, because it's like they're never going to be seen together. So, like, why would they have planned a murder together?
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I think it gives it a realistic dynamic.
Definitely. Anything else to say about Sandy? I don't think there's much more to say about Sandy. I think that she...
No, you nailed it at the beginning when you were saying that you think that she lends an air of credibility to this movie that it doesn't deserve, and it could have been more fun without her, only because she is still a great actress, and she plays very well in this movie, and it makes it more serious than it should have been.
Yeah. You know, Michael Pitt's obviously a really good actor. Gosling's a good actor. Sandra Bullock is a great actor. Like, it feels like if this was in a more competent production, this could have been, like, a great movie. But instead, where it is, it's sort of living in that, like you're saying, Lifetime, Hallmark, or sci-fi world where just, like...
TV.
Yes.
Made-for-TV movie. Yeah.
Yes. So let's talk about Mr. Ryan Gosling. He's buying weed at $400 an ounce. This was a IMDb trivia. He says, better take me into space or better take me to the moon for that. And they're like, oh, well, 16 years later, he would play Neil Armstrong in First Man.
Oh, I didn't even get that. I was so hung up on that, like, that's a very expensive ounce of weed. A laughably expensive ounce of weed. And then he tells him he was giving him, like, the friend deal anyways. And you're like, no, you're not.
How many people did they kill in this movie? They kill the drug dealer. They kill the girl.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's it. That's all that I counted.
Their tactic, I guess, makes sense. It's like the force them to make it look like a suicide. Gosling looking like he's straight out of making meth in Breaking Bad, or like Dexter in the clean room.
The jacket, it read one thing to me.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when he actually murders people.
Oh, yeah. Okay, he's in the... I want to get back to that.
Well, we'll get back to the red jacket, because the red jacket gave me ideas, but I can't exactly place what it is. But yeah, like he's in like a full body plastic suit, so he doesn't like drop any skin or hair fibers.
Yep.
Goggles on.
Saran wrap on his head.
Yep. And it looks like he's, you know, Walter White, Jesse Pinkman, or just Dexter. Like, he looks like he's professional at what he's doing, which again feels like, I guess they were pretty good. I mean, they still got caught, but it feels like that's, you know, that's pretty thorough.
No, they nailed it. They definitely had some ideas, and it works. They're doing a better job than most people would do as criminals, like trying to plan the perfect murder, I think.
So what do you think, in terms of the red jacket, what were you getting flashes of?
It looked to me, and especially now that you said that he wanted the car that James Dean had, it feels very much like Gosling was like, I want a jacket like Brad Pitt in Fight Club.
Oh, okay. I'm also thinking now, because you said, now that you mentioned James Dean again, like I said before, but, like, I think Rebel Without a Cause also has, like, that leather jacket. Like, it's the same kind of, like, badass, tough boy, whatever, right?
I want to know the timing of when this came out and when Fight Club came out.
I think it's 3 years after Fight Club.
So, yeah. So, I think that, like, he's coming up in the scene. He sees a mysterious, runs-the-show kind of guy, and he's like, yeah, I want a jacket, like, in Fight Club. It fits the whole, like, Gosling's young, dumb, full of cum, and 20 years old as an actor. I'm gonna be awesome. I want the world to see me as Brad Pitt, you know? And you're like, you'll get there, bud, but, like, don't force it. So, but I don't know whose choice it was to wear the red jacket, so.
So, speaking of actor choices, I just tweeted it out, because, like, last night I tweeted the gif of, let's first talk about Ryan Gosling doing Devil Horns, listening to Iron Maiden's Number of the Beast.
Oh, God, it was so good, I know. You didn't tell me, and what's the one that was better than that?
Well, I just put it on Twitter. It is at the end of the movie when he's threatening Sandy, and he licks her face from chin to forehead.
That's a power move, dude.
Wait, did you see that in the movie, or did you look away?
No, I didn't see it.
Go on Twitter right now. I need you to see what this is. If you had seen it, you would not have not said something to this point. Insane.
It's incredible, dude.
And that was something that he improvised.
He did?
So he didn't just do it, but he asked, like, it wasn't on the script, he asked Sandra Bullock, like, do you mind if I do this, because I feel like it would play into my character. And I guess
in a
said,
very
yes.
Gosling move, you know, oh, I'm sorry I have to hit you, do you mind if I lick your face, it'll, like, fit the vibes of it.
So what happens is, at the end of the movie, where they have the suicide pact, and it turns out that Gosling's gun was empty, he was gonna have Michael Pitt kill himself.
Yes.
And not he wasn't gonna die. They start to fight, they start to argue. He's like, you didn't even have guns in your bullet, you're gonna let me kill myself, blah blah blah. And then Sandy shows up at that moment.
Sandy shows up, yep.
Michael Pitt runs to her and he tries to shoot Sandy, I think. Gosling tries to shoot Sandy, hits Michael Pitt, and then he, like, sort of runs outside onto this, like, balcony overlooking this, like, cliffside, like the waters.
Yeah.
The balcony is, like, tipping and trembling and wobbling.
And she notices it. She's like, oh, this railing, like, he's choking me against the railing, so I have to, like, break this railing free. So she starts kicking it with the back of her foot.
He's choking her, he licks her, and she kicks it, and he tumbles to his death. And then Michael Pitt saves her life, and then she's like, cool, thanks for that. By the way, I know that you did it too.
The tumbling to the death part, I thought that was going to be the second gif, because it's, like, so CGI'd, and Gosling's like, no, and he's doing the, like, fall into the pit thing, and it's, like, it's just so, it's beautiful.
I mean, that was great, but I just, like, the lick.
Licking
was
the
just...
face, yeah, I missed it, and it's incredible.
Man, what a powerful ending to this movie.
And you're right, I did, like, the devil horns, like, headbanger thing. I like it because he seems uncomfortable doing it, like, it doesn't seem like Gosling really likes metal music, but, like, I thought that he was doing it as, like, a joke to the girl in the that's outside the car. I thought that, like, she likes metal music, and he's like, da-da-da-da-da, like, yeah! And, like, making fun of, you know what I mean? Like, if your friend likes a certain song, and you're like, oh, here's your fucking song!
It felt like it could have gone either way. Like, it felt like either he was into it, or he was making fun of it, or just trying to attract her. Like, I don't know where it was. Like, it had the United States of Leland vibe, where it's like, I don't know what they're committing to. Where it's like, this could be any number of things, but I enjoyed it because it was just, he was so dedicated to it, whether it was genuine
or... Yeah,
and
it seemed fun.
Fantastic. This movie, there's a couple gifs I was just like, oh boy, this is kind of wonderful. There's also, we see in this movie, a sex tape between Gosling and the blonde who, like, Michael Pitt had a crush on.
Goldilocks.
Yeah, that's Sandy calls, that's all I call her, because that's Sandy calls her Goldilocks.
Yep.
So that's I think that may be our first Gosling sex tape.
Definitely the first sex.
Probably.
I mean, if you don't count us watching the movies as sex tapes.
Oh yeah.
It's the first time we see Gosling.
And I took all my notes. And just sort of like, I didn't have any most or least boyfriend material moments. I guess we can sort of talk about that. Because I was just like so...
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't write any down. I normally write them down. I normally like emphasize what's what. But okay. I was just so like, I can't not write down just like the craziness. Because it felt like every 5 or 10 minutes, there was something that I've not never seen before. But something that was like, why is this happening now? Like it felt in that way, like the Lifetime Hallmark movies. It's like, oh, like they're just trying to like get people back from a commercial break. here's a monkey attacking Sandy. Here is a Gosling sex tape.
So
here's
fucking weird.
Sandy opening a car door into his face. This is, you know, here's Michael Pitt punching him in the face. Like, Gosling just keeps, like, even back here, Gosling keeps getting hit in the face.
I think car door is going to have to be nominated for best punch in the face.
We're going to put both in there, but car door for sure, but Michael Pitt punching him and then Sandy opening it, this is what's kind of weird, is that she's crossing a line, like she's sort of snooping when she shouldn't necessarily be snooping, feels kind of, you know, she feels unethical about it or whatever. And then Gosling sees her snooping, goes up to her. He's being an asshole. Like, he also gets, like, a little rapey before. Like, isn't, like, he just gets aggressive, and then, like, she hits him. Like,
but he kind of smells it out of her, right? He's like, oh, yes. What do you want, like, me to hit you? Do you want, like... It is forceful and rapey, but because he's right that she, like, pushes people away and kind of is like this, it makes it feel less wrong to me. The movie frames it so that it's not a bad thing.
I don't want to say it's not a bad thing, but it feels like it's, like, a cat and mouse, but it's... It's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. I'm saying, but the movie sets it up to show you that she is really forceful with the partner first, and then you get the Gosling thing, and he's like, you push people away. Did you want, like, to be, like, me to be rough or something? And you're like, yeah, it's trying to vindicate giving you that scene so you're not, like, you don't hate Gosling for doing it. It's not going to draw you out of it. No, it's not going to... I think that they knew that it was going to play bad, and so they try to give you a moral out of it beforehand. And that acknowledgement of it means that they knew it was bad.
He knows that she's damaged. And so yes. He's like, I'm going to prey on you even more. And I feel like her aggressiveness toward her partner is not good. But I feel like it's just a result of the fact that she was abused as a child, as a child bride, essentially, right? Like,
yes.
Like she was not always this way. Her past led her to, like, not know how to interact with men and see, like, sex as, like, a power thing as opposed to an intimacy thing or whatever. And I feel like he sees that she's broken and preys on her. And I think, you know, even though we're watching this movie for Gosling, this is very clearly, both in terms of the way the movie is made, but also just, like, good cop, bad cop, like... Sandy is the star. Like, you're supposed to be rooting for her, not for Gosling. So in this moment, even though she's shown aggression toward the partner, she's still the victim here. And I think that even if it's, like you're saying, sort of less aggressive because of what she's done earlier, in a different view, it's almost more aggressive because he knows that she's fucked up. The movie shows what she does, maybe to lessen this, but also you could think about it like, he's only doing this because blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
I also think that my Gosling scope is playing into this because we just saw him do Leland, where he talks to the girl and she, like, wants him to be worse. He often, a lot of the times, he'll play a character that he finds a damaged woman. He's like, no, I'm the only good guy in the world for you. And he's like, I'm not going to play to your weaknesses. And then, you know, you have Robert Durst when he plays Robert Durst, and you're like, oh, he's just a psychopath. In this one, it's a little bit more like, it's cool to see him play to the weaknesses, like, because it's a role that we don't normally get. Like I said, like, in Leland, he asked the girl yesterday, like, what? Like, do you think I'm going to hit you or something? Because it's, like, so unbelievable he would do it. So for him to, like, to see him play this, I was like, oh, that's interesting, too.
Yeah. Is there anything else about this movie that you want to talk about? I guess we can save our mostly boyfriend material moment ideas for when we do that later. But is there anything else?
Yeah.
Any other moments, any other craziness that you want to point out before we... trailer and Google and stuff like that.
The monkey scene is so bizarre.
Where'd the monkey come from? Was the monkey ever teased?
Yes, and they bring it back kind of like when they're talking about all the fibers, right?
Yep.
That's when we first get the, like, the foreshadowing that there's going to be a monkey in this movie.
Really?
Yes, because they say, like, oh, there's going to be, like, a fiber from the carpets, and they're, like, going through all the fibers, and then he's like, and then they're going to find a hair, but it's not human. Because then she gets attacked by the monkey. And then we cut back to them. They somehow know that she got attacked or something like that. The one kid turns to Gosling and goes, oh, I guess they found the monkey then.
That is crazy.
So they, like, knew that there was a monkey. Like, they were setting it up. We, as the audience, didn't know. They knew that there was a monkey. And they
Was that at the drug dealer's house?
I think so. I think it's, like, in the back den of the drug dealer's house.
Okay, so
which would make sense.
Slightly more sense, yeah.
Yeah.
That it's a place that Gosling's been before. I also like that we see... Again, just so, like, I want a movie kind of about the drug dealer because he's also doubles as a janitor at the school. And I don't know if you saw this,
yes.
But when Sandy and her partner show up to the school to, like, question Gosling and Michael Pitt, because they already, feels like 20 minutes into the movie, know it's them. I guess because they're also kind of not hiding it. Like, they're just like, oh.
An hour into the movie, like, I had paused last night, and an hour into the movie, they were already, like, on their trails. And
it's a 2-hour
movie.
They solved the case very quickly.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, like, basically proving why, or why, figuring out like why they did this. But anyway,
yes.
They go to the school and they're interviewing the two of them, and they're both like nervous, but they're also high schoolers talking to cops, blah blah blah. But then the janitor, who is the drug dealer, sees the cop, and he cut where like
it's so
he
perfect.
Sees them,
it's
and
so
he
perfect.
Like looks like he's in a cartoon, like looks eyes left, looks like right, and then he just like runs away. It's like, dude,
no, he like drops the he ditches the cart behind like a pole and just like walk. Like it's that like I'm gonna say it's like the Ocean's 11 scene. You know, like once you like run out of the doors of like wherever you're running from, if you can like to blend in, you like slow down and stop. But he's wearing a full janitor's uniform, so he like walks and like is like pushing the cart. It's like shit, cops. Like just dumps the cart and is like doo 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 and like walks away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't make eye contact. They'll never notice me.
They'll never notice me being completely weird and you know, not normal at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so Joe, if we're, you know, if we're asking Ryan Gosling the most important question, hey Gos, what's in your hands? What's in your hands, Gos?
Lots of cigarettes this time too.
Lots of cigarettes. Oh, the art. Hold on, let me show you the art for this episode.
Oh, right? Yeah.
That's,
oh, yeah, that's
sultry.
A good one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like it.
We got cigarettes. We got a gun. Multiple guns, maybe?
Like murder things.
Murder accoutrement.
Yeah, yeah. Murdered hors d'oeuvres. You know, because he has, like, a bag and fibers. He has the fibers in his hands.
Oh, of course fibers. He's got the $400 an ounce weed.
True. He's rolling a joint in this movie, which is actually really awesome. Because you don't see a lot of, like, joint rolling in movies.
Mm-hmm. That aren't specifically drug movies. Like, in drug movies,
yeah.
Are like, where there's, like, you spend a lot of time. But, yeah, this is just, like, a
casual,
like
a Seth Rogen movie is going to have three joints being rolled in the movie.
Yep.
But I'm saying, like, in, like, this murder movie, and we see Gosling doing it, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. He's got Sandra Bullock's throat in his hands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Sandy's throat.
Devil horns on his hands.
Yeah, like the car he drives again. Sandy's door. Oh, her keys. He tries to reach around and steal her keys when they're in the, like, the passionate stalking mode.
Yeah.
The fucking disc for the sex tape and all the video camera things.
Yep. Yes.
Like the video cassette, the disc for the sex tape, all of these things. He has those too in his hands.
All right, Joe, let us watch the trailer for Murder
Dude,
by Numbers.
Wait, hold on. His fucking dungeon lair, his murder lair, is so weird. What the fuck is going on there?
The cabin, or are you talking about a different place?
Because his murder lair, like Gosling's murder spot, is that in his basement, he has like a full Saw-style murder chamber set up in the basement. He like lives at home. I mean, obviously we never see his parents.
His parents in this movie?
But they don't know. She said they live like orphans with credit cards.
Okay.
So he's playing again like Leland, where he has rich parents, a big house, nothing to do.
Okay.
And money, and they just, like, let him, like, he's, like, they're, like, never around. The place that he takes the girl, and they finally strangle her, is in his basement. It's, like, being remodeled.
Yes, 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 yes.
And then he cut the hole out of the drywall into the remodeling spot to put the camera. The place is being remodeled, but then he has, like, a bed and, like a murder shelf set up. It's like the most obvious thing. You think, like, if they're trying to plan the perfect murder, how do you have like a murder den in your base? Like, you would see this and you'd be like, oh yeah, this is a murder den. You know what I mean? Like, it's like an out of a movie set murder den. From like every movie you see like this, like, oh, a crazy guy has a wacky room in his basement with a bed and like places to tie people up and like rope and like all the torture weapons like lined up on the side.
Yeah, it's like an in progress version of that American Horror Story basement.
Yeah, you like it's a murder basement. It's like a common trope in my head. Like, if you said murder basement, I'd be like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, this movie.
Radiator bed, shelf full of murder toys, and like nothing else in the basement. Like the rest of the basement's empty. No storage, no like old picture books or something weird. It's just like, nope, murder room in your basement.
You know what I was sort of hoping, and I don't think, and I'm not 100% sure, I think what we saw was true, but when the cops are talking to Gosling and Michael Pitt about what they think happened, they're sort of the reenactment, I was like, I wonder if this is what actually happened or if this is just what they think happened. And I think it turns out to be both, and then that's when we see, like, we sort of, like, the camera turns, we see Michael Pitt there in addition to Gosling. But I was kind of hoping that, like, what they showed wasn't real, and that what actually happened was something different. Like, I think that would have been a good twist, but just like, oh no, like,
I agree.
They're just good cops, and they know exactly, for the most part, what happened. They're saying it, And the kids are like, oh no, we gotta get out of here.
I agree. I thought that it was gonna be a reveal that, like, it was neither one of them and, like, the girl did it or something. You know what I mean? That's what I thought was gonna happen. Like, Goldilocks, like, came down and was like, I'll finish her off. And you're like, oh shit, she was the one involved anyways. And, like, it's a love triangle and all this weird shit.
But nope.
Totally it. They're just really good cops.
All right, trailer time. If you go on YouTube, search Murder by Numbers trailer. It's from Movie Clips Classics, our favorite Murder by Numbers 2002 official trailer, Sandra Bullock movie, 57,000 views. Joe, I put it in the chat before.
Yeah, I saw. Okay, yeah, whenever you're ready.
3, 2, 1, play. It's also a trailer that's under 2 minutes long, which is
Warner Brothers, Castle Rock, rare. Lots of rocks, old cabin. Oh, they show you the murder,
it's the first scene in the movie.
To commit the perfect crime. Let's throw all the books away into the fire. Oh, they show the murderer. Damn. Hitting her with the hammer. Sandy looking through the thing. Find the body.
There's a secondary crime scene here.
To get away. Secondary crime scene.
I think this the voiceover is the Don LaFontaine. I don't know if it's either him or somebody doing his impression, but this is like the classic, you know.
It is the classic.
It's
yep.
only gonna get worse. I warn you.
Yep, it is. I was gonna say that. I thought you usually don't listen with audio though. No
murder weapon. I do. I started having. This makes it look much more stylized than the movie actually is.
It does.
It's got all this like kind of grindhousey filters and stuff like that. Like, I feel like if they had done that, like, I don't think this movie ever would have done that. But if they made it look like it was from the 70s, like, I think that could have been really cool. But instead they just want to make it like ultra modern and cool, and it didn't move monkey room. It didn't like really like work.
Also, they sold us on the choking a little bit too much because he was just choking them there. And like Gosling's like a big choker in this movie.
I like that in that classroom when Michael Pitt does his whole like dissertation and like the class like laughs at him or whatever as he stumbles, and the girl's like, you really need to get laid. It's like, yeah, of course he does. Like, every high schooler. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not like he's not trying to get laid.
Yeah, you're a horny high school teenager. Oh, she sees it. See, murder basement.
Yep.
There we go.
Bang!
Oh, the lighter gun. Yep.
You're
getting way too involved in this.
She calls the victim Ophelia. She's like, no, I didn't.
Is this still my
message? So just saying, like, the victim. She's like, we gotta solve Ophelia's murder.
And we see Gosling strangling her. Wow.
I feel like they could have done a better job of linking this murder to her past.
Yes.
Like, it feels like there's no reason why she's disconnected to this murder.
I thought that Carl Hudson, her husband, the reveal was that the other case that she's coming to is her husband. I was thinking it was going to be like, oh, it's Goss's dad.
Oh.
Or, like, the kid's dad or something, right? And he's, like, trying to, like, get the girl that put his dad away. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but like, unless we both missed something, it feels like this is how she is on every case. Like, she gets obsessive about her work, and it's just like, we need to solve Ophelia's murder. It's like, well, girl, like, relax. Like, we get that you want to be good at your job, but like, this isn't personal.
Well, this one is more personal because, as you see in the movie, like, when she goes down the ravine, she finds the first body, the body that they murder, tossed down a ravine.
Right.
And then we also see that, like, essentially the same thing happened to her. So that's why she's, like, flashback into it. Because when she falls down the thing, we see that she was the girl that was almost murdered, and her body was left there, but she just happened to be awake.
It still feels like that's a bit of a stretch in terms of, like, why she cares so much about this. Like, it just feels like that's too late into it. I don't know.
No, you know, you're always driven by personal motivations, and if she sees a lot of herself in this girl, she's like, I want to get this guy because it reminds me of what happened to me. So,
yeah.
I don't think it's too much of a stretch. Not for me, at least.
Google game. So I'm going to go on Google, and I searched Murder by Numbers, Ryan Gosling. There were two things that came up, but I searched Ryan Gosling, Murder by Numbers, and there's three different things. They're sort
jacket.
Of... No.
Car.
Yes.
Sandra Bullock.
Yep.
And I got one more.
Yeah, the classic. What's the easiest, in terms of, like, 2002...
Hair.
Nope.
Age.
Yep.
Okay, cool. So
it
I got
both age and how old was Ryan Gosling when he filmed Murder by Numbers?
Interesting.
I think you need to guess that every time from now on, just because it's like...
Yeah, we hit the tipping point, right?
Yep. The Letterboxd game is, so we go on Letterboxd.com. For reference sake, Joe, Mad Max Fury Road, the most popular film on Letterboxd, 386,000 people, okay?
Yeah.
Murder by Numbers, 2002, directed by Barbette Schroeder, Sandra Bullock, Ben Chaplin, Ryan Gosling, and Michael Pitt, has been seen by how many people? Also, Nick Offerman is a cop in like a couple scenes, or maybe one scene.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's awesome. I missed him. I saw a cop that looked familiar.
I saw his name, and I didn't. I think I just missed him. But yeah, he's a real baby.
Oh.
He's a real baby.
Yeah, Ron Swanson in the flesh.
Yeah, this
solving murders.
This is like 7 or 8 years before Parks. So yeah.
Yeah.
All right. How many people have seen Murder by Numbers?
Oh, Leland was about
4.
Sandy's in this one. It's an Erland Goss movie, but it's a thriller. I'm gonna have to go like 23.
Lower.
15.
Lower.
8.
10 for 15.
Okay.
So out of those 10,000 people, average rating of 2.7. I gave it 2.5.
I seriously overestimated the love of Sandy in film in Letterboxd. Sorry.
I don't know if I'm more surprised when you're like supernaturally good at this game, or like because of that history, when you're wildly off. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they're both surprising to me in different ways. It's like, I don't know how you're this close sometimes, and then just like, because the same logic that you apply sometimes leads you wildly astray.
Yes. Yeah. No, yeah. It's just like, you have to balance the guesses. Like, I was thinking that people were like, we fucking love Sandy. It's a Sandy and Gosling movie, and a lot more people would have seen. This seems like, now we talked about the budget, it's a little bit more big budget. Maybe it had some things, but you have to remember this movie came out before the promos for the movie, like before Letterboxd came out, so yep. You have to factor that in.
So out of those 10,400 people who have seen this, who caught wind of this marketing trailer, Sandy, Gosling, whatever,
yeah.
How many people have it in their top 4? I will tell you, it's a number higher than 0.
It has to be like 6 at the most.
Less. Fewer.
3?
3. Basically, nobody has written reviews. None of the 3 people who had this in the top 4 reviewed it. One person gave it 5 stars, one person liked it, one person did neither. We're going to do, just because I think that you're going to be able to get 3 of these, because they all have one big thing in common. Alexandra Buga, at Alexandra Buga, has Murder by Numbers as her number 3 movie. She has rated 13 movies. She's given each of them 5 stars. Number two movie is The Longest Ride, which feels like that Zeff movie with Piper. But it's like just a cowboy, like a sexy cowboy movie where like a girl falls in love with a sexy cowboy. Murder by Numbers is number 3. So numbers 1 and 4 have a big thing in common with this movie.
Gravity with Sandy.
No, the other big thing in common with this movie.
What's the other? Gosling?
Mm-hmm.
The Notebook.
No.
No, not The Notebook.
Okay, so if you think, so here's a way to lead you down a specific path. So if you think about this, like the genre of this movie, and you think of Ryan Gosling.
So the Robert Durst one?
No, but close-ish.
Drive?
Drive is her number 1, but that's not what I was trying to have you guess. Solving a Murder.
What was the other murder one? The Robert Durst one. That's the only murder I can think about. Good Guys, The Nice Guys?
No. We did it much more recently. It was an older movie. We did it since we resumed.
I don't know, man.
Again, someone thinking that they are too smart, that they are above the law. They plan the perfect crime. Gosling on the Other Side of the Law.
Goss Beyond the Pines?
Nope.
Is it Leland?
Nope.
I don't fucking know, dude.
Fracture.
Oh, God. Yeah, I think I just blocked it out.
Because that was like, that's this movie. That's like a guy thinking he's too smart for his own good. He's going to murder his wife and get away with it because there's no way that you can prove that I did it.
Yeah.
Same movie, except Gosling, instead of being the criminal, is a lawyer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I guess I blocked it out.
Fire ass titles. First thing I'm going to say, Murder Basement Numbers. If we are renaming this movie to be its most core basic elements, Murder by Numbers is a terrible title for this movie.
What, are you serious? Because I was going to say, I think I really like it.
Where are the numbers?
It's a play on, like, paint by numbers or, like, instructional lists and stuff like that. Because they're reading the books. That's why it's, like, murder by numbers, like by the book. You know what I mean?
I guess so. I guess, but it just felt like that. Like, it should have been, it felt like there should have been, like, some kind, like, I was sort of imagining, like, a very mathematical or very, like, specific calculating.
No, I was taking it more figuratively than literally.
Okay. Murder Basement Numbers. So you're basically saying like Murder by Numbers is like Murder 101. Murder 101.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is how I took the title.
Which I guess is how it's supposed to be, but I just, for whatever reason, that didn't click in my brain, even though you guessed last week, Paint by Numbers.
Yeah, that was my joke.
I didn't think about it like that. I just thought about it like there was going to be some kind of like clues to decipher. Like he was going to be like leading them to...
Like Zodiac?
Yeah, kind of, like... but like all like numbers based.
yeah, no. I was getting it, like, the most picturesque, easiest, like, the most obvious murder ever.
So murder, we have murder basement numbers and murder 101.
927. Broken clock.
Yeah.
The perfect crime.
The perfect crime is really good. Fracture.
The pact.
Oh, I do like, and I was trying to think of a name for the movie, but I do like that when Sandy is telling her partner about her husband, and she's describing, like, it happened to another girl, and then she's like, clearly it was me, because, like, why else would I know all the details of the story? And she's like, he was the most handsome man I ever met until I met Ryan Gosling. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, that's a little too much detail to share with your partner, but...
A random monkey.
Ooh.
Fibers,
damn it, yep. Just the plan.
The hyena.
Hard-boiled.
Why hard-boiled?
It's a type of detective. It's like an old-timey pulpy detective.
Okay.
It's basically the type of character she's playing.
The new guy.
About her partner?
Yeah.
An unlikely alliance.
Yeah, I was going for, like, partners. Mm. That's a good one.
That's a good one to end on, I think.
Okay.
Most and least boyfriend material moment. Joe, what is your pick? What is Ryan Gosling doing here that you think is the most boyfriend material thing he does all movie?
I know that you posted the GIF, we already talked about it, but I think the, like, it's fun in the car, I'm going to drive real slow next to a girl, make her giggle. That's the most boyfriend material moment thing for me.
I was thinking that because I was wondering, because, like, is that still, like, kind of low on the list, on the ultimate, like, totem pole of boyfriend material moments that we've covered? If that's, like, the best one he does, like, it's not a great one.
Well, he's a murderer. He's a douchebag, privileged, sure, high school, yep, murderer in, yep, this movie. So, like, yeah, it's low on the
buys
list.
Buys $600 but... boots.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
what else does he do, really? I'm going to say... Well, I'm gonna flip it. I'm gonna think about most, but I'm gonna say least boyfriend material moment aside from actual murder, which is pretty bad, but I don't want to make it that obvious. I'm gonna say taunting Sandy and being like, I can sense that you're damaged. I can sense that you're broken. I'm going to make you hurt by pointing out your flaws, by pointing out your shortcomings.
Yeah, that's good. I was thinking, for me, the most obvious least boyfriend material moment was the, like, the revenge porn, like him, like, giving the sex tape to, like, he gives it to, you know, his buddy, and, like, also, like, that, like, you shot secret porn of a girl, and then you give it away to someone. Like, it's creepy enough that you would have it yourself, yeah, but, like, then, like, yep, giving it is, like, ha ha ha, I still have this evidence, is, like,
yeah,
that's lame, dude.
For most, I'm gonna go with something, it's sort of a low-key most moment, but I'm just gonna say... realizing that Michael Pitt has something to offer. Because, like, I feel like in class, he just, like, you know, shit-talks on Michael Pitt and whatever. And then once he sort of has the realization that, like, basically people have value, I think that's, like, he's obviously just using this guy to take advantage of him, but I think, like, the realization that, like, people are people is, in a sense, in a weird, inverted sense, a boyfriend material moment.
That's fine. Yeah, I can see that.
So our guesses last week, you said Ryan Gosling is a paint-by-numbers book designer. In the books, he does paint-by-numbers, but it's for gothic teen girls at Hot Topic. A lot of murder scenes in it. He's designing paint-by-numbers scenes for the crimes he's committing. He's murdering these people.
I forgot to mention, the girl has self-painted nudes of herself on her walls.
There is paint.
So there's painting.
Paint. So I'll give you partial credit, because it has nothing to do with Gosling.
No, it doesn't. But painting is a part of the movie, which shouldn't be,
yes,
when the title's Paint by Numbers, mm-hmm, or Murder by Numbers.
You said the most moment was he designs a Paint by Numbers painting of a girl he's dating, but then murders her anyway, too. So you got that he murders a girl he's with.
No, he doesn't. He's not really dating that girl. They, like, find her. She's random, remember? Goldilocks is just, like, the girl that he was dating that his friend's now dating. They murder a random girl that they found in, like, a supermarket parking lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's a doubly bad boyfriend. There's paint by numbers of her sleeping, then her missing body parts and limbs. Sandra Bullock is the girl he's dating, or she's his paint by numbers editor. In that regard, no points.
No, but we get a lot of sleeping women, and we had the painted sleeping nudes of the other girl. So I think that I was close.
You got partial credit for the paint, for sure.
Thanks.
I said that Sandra Bullock is a hard-boiled detective. Check. Investigating a serial killer. Not quite. Gosling goes to the police office to help. He goes, but not for helping.
He calls them to help. He, like, gives them the tip.
He knows things, which, yes, he helps, yeah, and finds clues and bodies in an innocent way. But as time goes on, he becomes too insightful and knowledgeable, and turns out he's the killer. He's been setting Sandra Bullock up as the final target since he met her. Also kind of check.
Yeah. Yeah, you did really good.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. You definitely won that round.
So, Joe, the next one And I've never seen this movie, but I just saw what the poster is, so I kind of know. So I'm gonna recuse myself from this. The next movie is The Slaughter Rule.
The Slaughter Rule.
Yep.
R-U-L-E.
Yep. Like, bring your daughter to the slaughter, and then Slaughter Rule, R-U-L-E. So I'm not going to say what it is. I know enough about what it is that, like, I would be in the ballpark, and that just feels unfair. So okay. I don't know what the plot is, but I know sort of what the setting is. You'll know what I'm talking about when we actually get to the movie.
Okay.
But what do you think The Slaughter Rule is about? Most boyfriend, least boyfriend material moments.
The Slaughter Rule is about Ryan Gosling, who plays a butcher's apprentice.
Okay.
His father is a butcher. Ryan Gosling is his young apprentice, because he's going to be, like, you know, 18 at this time, right? And he one day is going to take over the butcher shop.
Okay.
That's his dream. His father tells him that there's one thing that he will tell him before he gives the shop to him, but he's too young to know it now. And on his deathbed, his father tells him the Slaughter Rule.
Okay.
Always say a prayer before you have to slaughter the animal to thank them, and don't waste any of the parts. And he says, okay. And then his father dies, and gets the butcher shop.
Okay.
The most boyfriend material moment is,
yep.
We'll get to a point
mm-hmm.
when Gosling has a son. He's like, buddy, one day you'll be a butcher. Like your grandfather was, like I am,
mm-hmm.
and I will tell you the Slaughter Rule.
Okay.
And it's just like an endearing father-son moment, and it's just going to be like so sweet. The least boyfriend material moment is that the butcher shop is a front, and that he grinds people up and puts them in the sausages.
Perfect.
His father was a murderer too.
That's the real Slaughter Rule.
Yeah, the real Slaughter Rule is that, like, he, like, Dexter finds out that his dad was a murderer the whole time.
Perfect.
Feeding people sausages. And he becomes a murderer, and then he's training his son to be a murderer, too.
So what the movie's actually about, I think, is football.
Oh, like calling the game, like if the score's too high?
I guess. I have no idea. But all I know is that two of the next three movies, this, and then in three movies, two after The Slaughter Rule, is going to be Remember the Titans.
Yeah.
So we're firmly entering the football era of Gosling's career.
Apparently.
At least on the cover, there's, like, football stuff. So I'm assuming it's about football. maybe there's a side plot with a butcher, but I don't know. But yeah,
I hope so. I like my movie. I think that my movie scripts are always pretty good.
Well, yours are like the inverse of fire ass titles. Like instead of fire ass titles into what the movie's about, you're writing a fire ass plot about what the title implies.
Exactly. Yeah, that's how I try to do all these movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Joe, let us nominate this for some Ryan Gosling awards: Golden Geese, Golden Fleece, whatever we want to call them. Best film, no. Worst film, no. We don't have the most fun film, which I feel like.
This is pretty fun.
I know, but I don't know if we have any others. Like, are there any other in this realm? Like, it feels like it's
no,
just
no, because he
this.
Goes so indie. Yeah, he goes, like, so indie, so they're, like, not fun. They're just, like, movies.
Most disappointing movie, not at all. Like, this was a surprise gem, in a sense. Not that it's good, but again, that is fun.
Also, pairing it against Leland, just coming off of
yep.
Leland, I'm
yep.
like, whew, this feels great, yeah.
Best or worst role, I'm going to say no.
Nah, it's bland.
Most or least boyfriend material caliber role,
nah.
Not most.
Not least either, I don't think.
At least he's a douchebag murderer. He's not really boyfriendy.
He shot revenge porn of the girl and shit.
I'll say at least.
That's fair.
We do have a most fun film. Yeah, here we go. Gangster Squad, La La Land, Lars and the Real Girl, Murder by Numbers, The Nice Guys. Best song,
cool.
There's nothing here. Best
nope.
soundtrack, no. Best
nope.
cinematography, definitely not. Best costumes,
no.
I feel like there's...
It's
90s
clothes.
There's the outfits, like there's his murder outfit, but it's not really like the... I don't want to nominate the entire movie for that. Best or worst hair?
No, this was fine.
This was
it wasn't as bad as Leland, but it wasn't great either.
Yep. Best or worst love story? No. Best scream? No. Best cry? No. Best punch in the face? Car door.
Car door by Sandy for sure.
And then we're also going to say punched by Michael Pitt. He does not play any instruments. Best Ryan Gosling kill.
I want to say yes, but I want to vote for his death falling off the thing.
Well, we have best death for sure.
Oh, okay.
But
so
I think
not
the best kill, I think, is probably the murdering the drug dealer.
No, those kills aren't very good to me. I like his death, for sure.
Well, we can always cut this down, because like, we have, I think we're just sort of logging every kill that he has, and then we can sort of just pick the five best ones.
Okay,
and those can be the nominees.
Fair. That's fair. Fake suicide, planted suicide.
Yeah, okay. Best job, no. Best dancing scene, no. Best death, yes. Falling off a balcony into
no,
a cliff.
Sandy throwing him off the balcony.
Thrown off a balcony, okay.
Into water.
And then best non-Gos role, male or female. I'm going to say Sandra Bullock. Again, it doesn't quite fit, but just, she's good in this.
Yeah, she's good.
Seven nominees. Least boyfriend material caliber role, most fun film, two for best punch in the face, best kill, best death, and then Sandy. Which, yeah, feels right.
Feels good to me.
So next week we'll be back with the Slaughter Rule about football and maybe also butcher shops.
And murders.
We are, I think there's like eight more. I think there's maybe six more Gosling movies, two TV shows, and then we've got our award show, and then our award nomination show, our clip show, and then our actual award show. So there's about 10 more episodes in total, six more movies. Like, we're almost caught up with all the got. Like, we've seen something like 80% maybe of his movies now. Like, we're close.
Wow.
The important thing, every other Tuesday, actually right now I think we're still in the stretch of every Tuesday, Too Fast, Too Forever, our Fast and the Furious podcast, the same thing that this is, except about the Fast and Furious movies.
A little bit more fun, maybe, even.
Yeah.
Because it's like a little bit zanier.
We also have guests, which is cool.
Play yeah,
other games
true.
Over there. Play. We have a personality quiz over there, which I love. Every other Tuesday or every Tuesday on wherever you get this podcast. And also, we have a Channing Tatum podcast and Zac Efron podcast that are sort of in hiatus-ish right now. But there's always new episodes every once in a while on both of those feeds, so check those out. But for all things boyfriend material, you can go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, or at cageclubpod on Twitter and Instagram. Email us, boyfriendmaterial@cageclub.me. Come back next week for the Slaughter Rule, and let us know what you thought of Murder by Numbers, if you've seen this movie, I guess. I don't know. Just say hi.
Hi.
I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe, too.
And we'll see you next week right here on Boyfriend Material.
In old Transylvania, when I was a lad, our castle was cold, yet we never were sad. We learned to be happy, we danced round the hall, and learning to count was the key to it all. By counting each count, I knew just where to start. And one special step has stayed close to my heart. One, two, three, spread out the cape. One, two, three, twirl round the floor. One, two, three, left foot you swing. One, two, three, then start to sing. One, two, three, loud as you please. One, two, three, counting.